Ava's Crucible, a post-apocalyptic tale of the coming civil war in America, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition. The deck is stacked against 29-year-old Ava. She's a fighter, but she's got trust issues and doesn't always make the best decisions. Her personal complications aren't without merit, but America is on the verge of a second civil war, and Ava must pull it together if she wants to survive. Ava has just lost her adoptive mother to cancer. She has no idea who her biological father is, and her adoptive dad walked out on his family for the sweet young thing at the office 15 years ago. With such a long history of loss and abandonment, it's understandable why she's hesitant to put her faith in people. But now, it's affecting her relationship with God. Meanwhile, the tentacles of the deep state have infiltrated every facet of American culture. The public education system, entertainment industry, and mainstream media have all been hijacked by a shadow government intent on fomenting the communist revolution in the United States. The antagonistic message of this agenda has poisoned the minds of America's youth, who are now convinced that capitalism and conservatism are responsible for all the ills of the world. Violent protest, widespread destruction, and politicians who insist on letting the disassociated vent their rage will bring America to her knees, threatening to decapitate the laws, principles, and values on which the country was founded. Ava refuses to give in to fear, but she simply cannot survive on her own. She must deal with her crisis of faith and learn to trust others, or she'll never make it through the bloodiest period of America's history. Get your copy of Ava's Crucible by best-selling author Mark Goodwin from Amazon.com today.
You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my recent appearance on the Hagman Report. Enjoy the show.
The current economic system we're under and the way that we're managing it, unsustainable, because you only have so many options on how you're going to repay that debt. If you default as the world reserve currency, you know, talk about chaos, the hyperinflation, anything, any of the scenarios you just laid out as far as ways that our economy could crash would be the worst case scenario for the most part in this country, especially because how reliant people are on the convenience of others to provide their food in the stores that do that, which would all break down if the currencies broke down, at least temporarily. And what's really frustrating is, you know, each quarter that goes by, and there's four quarters in a year, so each quarter that goes by, we see the same exact headlines. Feds collect record taxes. Feds spend record amount of money. And it's the same every single time. They are never changing. And whether you expected President Trump to be able to change this single-handedly, or you thought he would, or it would happen another way, it's never going to happen without a community effort. But it's either going to crash and burn, or they're going to implement some kind of transitional currency and economic system. But either way, it is trouble for those of us who are just trying to live our lives and do our work and live a good life. But Mark, you said it, and what's really troublesome is that this will, you know, continue to speed this up. But at this point, what's one more trillion on a pile of $22, $25, $100 trillion? You know, it's really nothing when you think about it. But that's because we're so far gone. That, I mean, it is very frightening if you think about what could happen. And then China's introducing a new gold-backed, oil-backed currency on the 26th of March. And on and on and on, you have the International Monetary Fund and BRICS all attempting to dethrone the U.S. dollar from the world reserve currency. And it's going to happen. Eventually, it's going to happen. But, you know, that's just one other angle and way that they have to tear down and cause chaos in our society. And it also fits Bible prophecy as well. I want to ask you this. The bill that Trump signed today, we know that the Republican Congress and Senate are the real troublemakers in this, and Trump is an enabler. having signed it without vetoing it. Do you think that this is going to have an impact on the 2018 midterm election?
I really don't know. You know, he's we've seen him waffle on a couple of things on gun control. He's waffled about talking about raising the age for people to be able to buy rifles to 21 and to take away bump stocks and you know, I think this is another waffle. I'm always so hesitant to get critical of President Trump. He's got enough critics in the mainstream media, you know, talking about what a horrible person he is, and as much as he wasn't my very first choice in the Republican primaries, he wasn't my last either. And despite his shortcomings, I'll probably be voting for him again. And I'm always so hesitant to be overly critical of him because I know that. What'll happen is there'll be a lot of Republicans that'll say, "Well, I'm just going to stay home and I'm just not going to vote at all," and then we're going to get the Bernie Sanders, and that's going to happen too. Like I said, the kids that are in school now that are coming of age that are going to be voting in the next few cycles, and the older folks dying off, these kids have been systematically brainwashed by the public school education system, by Hollywood, by the mainstream media, and by this political corrected society that we live in, where, you know, you're not even allowed to say boy or girl anymore, and, you know, gender is whatever you want it to be, and this crazy society that we live in, we're going to get our Bernie Sanders. We're going to get somebody probably far worse, far, far left of Bernie Sanders in one of these upcoming presidential elections. So I'm very, very worried about, very hesitant to be overly critical of the Republicans, despite their very obvious shortcomings. So because I know that it'll demotivate a few people, and those could be the people that get us one more year of not complete communist control, that gives us, you know, one more term of folks being able to get prepared for what's coming, and so I hope not. I hope that folks will stay motivated and they'll keep taking that lesser of two evils, because like I've said before, if Jesus isn't on the ballot, you're always going to be voting for the lesser of two evils, even if there, you know.
I'll tell you, we can't afford a Bernie Sanders, not in 2016, not in 2020, not ever. One of your contemporaries, and in fact, he's going to join us here on the Hagmann Report Monday evening, of course, is really one of the paterfamilia of the current preparedness minded movement. And of course, that's James Wesley Rawls. And again, he'll be with us here on the Hagmann Report Monday evening. The other night, Mark, I was reviewing one of Mr. Rawls' early works. And in it, he describes what they colloquially call the crunch. And the crunch is the mainstream media term for an economic implosion. It's a combination of complete lack of judicious, frugal spending from the federal government. Obviously, we see that on hyperdrive today, combined with a bottoming out of the derivatives market and then a toppling of the bonds, and we spiral into hyperinflation. And that being said, one of the things that Mr. Rawls did that was really put a firecracker up against my backside in 2009 and brought me to that red-pilled moment was his description. Now, he wrote his first book, Patriots, in 93-94, and in it he describes the crunch. And he talks about debt-to-GDP ratio, and at the time the lights go off in the United States, at the time where we spiral into a without-rule-of-law society, debt-to-GDP is at 125. Well, Mark, we are currently at 105.4, so we are not far from what, again, one of the probably the best known and certainly one of your contemporaries in dystopic fiction writing, Mr. Rawls, described over 20 years ago as being a serious turning point. Mark, do you let's put on our speculation caps for a moment here. You've been preparedness-minded for a long time, and PrepperRecon.com, much like the Hagman Report, has been standing in the gap for years now, informing as many people as who will pay attention about what we suspect is right around the corner. So, Mark, with all the body of work that you've created at this point, all the guests you've had, all the information that's been divulged, what do you suspect is going to be the last bullet out of the bandolier? Is it going to be economic, or could it be something more of a war nature? What's your gut, Mark?
If it's economic, economics rests on confidence. So as long as they can get people, keep people convinced that everything's okay, and keep them spending, and keep them borrowing, and keep them living above and beyond their means, and keep devaluing their currency without there being riots in the street, they can keep that game running. But at some point, that's going to run out, and confidence, as we saw in 2009, can fade really, really fast. You know, 2 weeks ago, or the last time I was on the Daily Show with you guys, we just had those multiple 1,000-point down days in the Dow, starting out with that Friday where it was down 666 points. This past week we lost 1,400 points on the Dow. So we're seeing some cracks in the confidence right now. We don't really know when that's all going to fade. The fundamentals have been out the door for years. So we're, you know, what you see those old cartoons with Wile E. Coyote, and he's chasing the Roadrunner, and he overshoots and he goes over the cliff, and he keeps running for some time after he's gone off the cliff, and then there's a point where he realizes that there's no more cliff left, and he's looking down at just at empty air,
and then he turns around and waves.
He turns around and waves, and then he starts falling, you know. And then the pain still doesn't come until he hits the bottom. You know, it's that deceleration is what really gets you. So, you know, we're over the cliff. You know, we just haven't realized that we ran out of cliff yet. We're like Wile E. Coyote. We're out there. We're still running. And there's no cliff underneath of us. So it's just whenever the confidence fades, that's when the economic will come. Political, I don't know. You know, I think even with gun control, I think that as long as they keep it, and I think they know this, I think that the powers that be know that as long as they keep it incremental, that we'll tolerate just about anything. You know, as long as you don't take my gun, you could say there's no more 30 round max. You could take it down to 20, and then the next shooting, you could take it down to 15, and the next one, you could take it down to 10, and then you could take it down to 5, yeah. And then you could be a single bullet magazines. And as long as you keep it incremental like that, nobody will ever say anything, and nobody will ever do anything. And then you can just start. Pecking
what
away.
Comes after that?
Reduce the BB guns?
Yeah, do we go down to sharp sticks, and then you can't have a sharp stick? Well, you can only have a dull stick, and then you can't have a stick. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com.
This week in the Pennsylvania State House, one of the people there, the PA Election Committee, met, and the somebody in that meeting, a lawmaker, I have the video right here, ended up saying that he wanted to give every student a bucket of stones in case a school shooter came in so they could throw stones. They actually said this. And no, listen, hold on. It's better. Another man proposed golf balls. And they said, no, it could pose a danger to other students after they're thrown from bouncing around. And so they went back to the stones. I have the video right here. I've watched it only on reading the CC. I have not had a chance to listen to it. But this is what they're reduced to. And isn't it funny? Think about this. The motivation of these events, these shooting events, if every time something like the Parkland, Florida shooting happens, they were allowed to reduce our rights, like our Second Amendment right, from 10 bullets to 5 bullets to 2 bullets to 1, what's to stop the government themselves from committing acts like that to reduce the rights? That's why, I mean, it's so dangerous. And, Mark, I want to say this. We covered this earlier. The David Hogg, he's on making the rounds again on his interviews with the March for Our Life tomorrow. And he made a big issue today about the school's new policy on clear backpacks because it said it violates his First Amendment rights. Did you hear about that?
No, and I didn't. It's funny. Just, the hypocrisy. It's insane.
But, I mean, just imagine if that's how this worked. Every time there was an event, the government was allowed to change laws based on that event. That's what they're going for. That should be the last thing we try to do. I mean, it should be after the emotions have gone, after, the hype has gone. Then should, we sit down and have this discussion. But to parade these kids around, to try to, every time there is an event that involves a gun, trying to demonize legal gun owners and the Second Amendment, it just gets old. And I think the people see through that. But it is, you can see their tactics and their points of attack by watching them on the gun issue.
Gentlemen, let me jump in here with this one, Mark and Joe. Karen Mallard, I believe she's running for Congress out of Virginia, and I found a genius satirist on YouTube who goes by Liberty Doll. And she did a piece, Mark, on Karen Mallard, who was so distraught and had become such an anti-gun person that she did a video where she demonstrates her husband's AR-15, and she's in her hoodie and her sweatpants out in the backyard, and she says, "This is my husband's AR-15. I didn't want him to buy it in the first place, but as of today, this gun will no longer be in our home." And I kid you not, she turns around in the video, places the AR-15 on a chop saw, and reduces the barrel down to shorter than 26 inches, thus making it an illegal semi-automatic firearm in all 50 states.
Yeah, but there's two sets of rules, and when they take our guns, the Antifa kids are still going to be armed. Soros is going to make sure of that. He's got short-barreled AKs and, drum 100-round drum magazines sitting around for them somewhere. With stockpiles of phosphorus-tipped ammo and everything else, bump stocks, anything you want, fully automatic, I'm sure. So there's two sets of rules, and we've seen that with Trump. We're seeing that right now with Cambridge Analytica. They're using essentially what they did for the Trump campaign is exactly what Barack Obama did. He was praised for his savvy in using social media in his campaign. And what Cambridge Analytica did for Trump is almost precisely what the Obama campaign did with Facebook. That's really what they did, is they really just took Obama's playbook and applied that for Trump. And and for the folks that think that all the information that you're volunteering on Facebook isn't going to be used against you, think again, because they may never actually sell your information to the government, but they sell it to marketing companies. You could easily have a company purchase it from Facebook and then turn around and sell it to the government, or you could have a government cutout posing as a marketing company that accesses all the information from Facebook. And when Christians are persona non grata, you've just built this entire dossier of yourself on Facebook. China right now, they're talking about people. They've got this social credit system there now, and they're saying now that folks that don't have a certain rank in their social credit system are not going to be able to fly on planes or ride trains. They're cutting them out of public transportation if you don't have a high enough social credit ranking. So that's something else that I'm putting into my Avis Crucible book, and that happens in America in the Civil War in the left states. you know, they use Facebook and they assign you a social credit rank according to what your political beliefs were, and they don't have to ask you, they don't have to give you any kind of a questionnaire because you've been volunteering it all on Facebook for the past 20 years, and they know exactly what you think, and they know exactly where you're at politically, and they assign you a rank based on that.
Yeah, and what's, you know, we've been talking about this all week, and what's really fascinating to me is that people, there are some people who still think that this was Cambridge Analytica deal was somehow, you know, the first time that or Facebook was illegally breached or information was stolen, not understanding that Facebook was set up for the sole purpose of gathering and selling your information. But let me ask you this. How much access to the information Facebook has stored and collected do you think the government has? Like, say, without a warrant, just, you know, maybe they can open a door, click a button and have access, or do they have to go and ask? How much overlap is there between Facebook and the government?
We know that NSA has asked, you know, Apple and Microsoft to build back doors for them into everybody's computer systems. You know, it's the NSA's toolbox that was stolen and sold by the shadow brokers that released the WannaCry ransomware last year. You know, and that's probably just a drop in the bucket compared to what's out there that was stolen from that NSA hacking toolkit. You know, this stuff's out there. Pandora's box has been open for cyber attacks. The things that we're going to see in the future that stem from all of those tools that were stolen from NSA that people like shadow brokers out there have that they can sell that to North Korea or to Russia or to just terrorist organizations or political terrorism organizations, people like Antifa that want to just take the system down just because they don't like it anymore. You know, this stuff's out there, and it's very, very dangerous. And yeah, I don't doubt that they have those same type of backdoor agreements with Facebook and Google and Twitter. And if they don't, like I said, all they have to do is have a government cutout that poses as a marketing company that goes to Facebook and purchases all that information.
And there it is. Mark, let me ask you this. We know that approximately half, maybe a little less than half of the country is under this Trump derangement syndrome to one degree or another. Now, you mentioned Antifa a moment ago and all their ilk in places like Portland, Seattle, Oakland, but really all over the metropolitan areas of our country. We also know that 62 million people voted for the president. And Joe and I were talking about this on The Daily Show a couple weeks ago, and it's just something I've been kicking around in my head, and I'd really love your opinion on it, Mark. If the main we are witnessing, and we have witnessed since President Trump's inauguration, the complete and total failure of these circus ridiculous platforms like CNN that are just, they're a joke. I mean, I would almost argue that they should have their FCC license pulled because they're such purveyors of fake news. So we're seeing the mainstream media strategy to take down this president. It's failing. And I wouldn't even say it's failing forward. It's just flat failing. Mark, in your opinion, what is plan two? Will the shadow government, will the deep state, revert to the banksters, and you know, maybe a phone call is made that goes something like this: "Hey, listen, mainstream media, you've had your chance for a year and a half, and you've given us more Anderson Cooper and more Brian Stelter and more Maddow, and really, it's not getting us anywhere. It's about time that the International Monetary Fund takes over." Do you think that something like that could occur, or could it even be something quieter, like you just said a moment ago with these shadow brokers? Is it possible, Mark, that we could wake up tomorrow and forget about martial law and black helicopters and closing down highways and all that? Perhaps one of these rogue nation states could just insert something into our 1970s era SCADA technology in the three grids, and boom, that's it. Lights out right there.
No, it's already in the SCADA systems. Ted Koppel, which is he's a raving liberal, wrote the book on Lights Out that states it's already in all the SCADA systems. It's like a sleeper virus. It's just all they have to do is somebody has to decide to push the button. And the economic the same thing, you know. The plunge protection team theoretically is being under the administration, but with this war that's going on between Trump and the deep state, that we see it's being manifested in the FBI, but it goes through the entire system. It's in all of the intelligence agencies. It just goes so deep. And you know, and I'm sure there's hitmen out there. This, you know, the people, whoever the did the wet work for the Clintons, I'm sure that they can, you know, grab somebody's kid, or they've got honeypots set up for everybody on the plunge protection teams, you know, the president's working group on financial markets, that can say, okay, the next time the Dow plunges, don't pull any stops in. You know, just let it go and let it die of its own, you know, basically pull the life support, and this thing will just fall off a cliff, and that'll be the end of it. And then they can blame that on Trump, because if the economy crashes on your watch, we saw it with Bush, you're going to get tarred and feathered.
Yeah, you are. And your comment on the kill switch is right on the money. We only have about 4 minutes left of this interview. The time went so fast. And I want to give out your website, prepperrecon.com. Also ask you, Mark, is there anything that we did not talk about that you wanted to cover tonight?
No. Like I said, right now, folks have got this. They've got this window of opportunity. We've got this limited period of prosperity, ever how long it lasts, whether it's another week or another month or another year. Take advantage of it. Get prepared. I've got a free book. If you go to PrepperRecon.com, the very top of the page, right under the menu bar, it says "Click here for your free PDF." That'll give you a book that I wrote with David Kobler. It's called "The 7-Step Survival Plan," and because if you're just now waking up to all of this and you're freaking out and you don't know what to do first, this is going to help you prioritize your preparedness efforts. So click that banner, fill out the form. It'll email you the PDF of the 7-Step Survival Plan, and you can start taking action right now to get your family ready for what is absolutely inevitable. Like I said, again, it's free. That's just a resource that I want to put out there for people to get ready, because the more of us that are ready, the better chance that we're going to have. And unfortunately, there's not going to be a lot of options whenever that event is, whatever it is, whether the lights go out or the economy goes off the cliff or the Civil War, whatever. We've just got this perfect storm of black swans hovering over our heads right now, and it's just, we don't know which one's going to hit first, and it's not just one, it's so many threats that there's too many of them to even enumerate right now. So get that. John was so gracious talking about Days of Noah. If you like that type of post-apocalyptic fiction, like John said, it's gritty. It's got some violence in it, probably less than what's in the Bible, but it has no swear words. It's got no embarrassing sex scenes in it, obviously, a lot of folks probably listen to this as a podcast. So if you like listening to stuff, it's all available on audio. It's also available on Kindle and paperback. So all these different various forms that you can get the book. And, especially folks that don't have a lot of time to read, the audio book's great. You can listen to that when you're commuting or at the gym or doing yard work.
Well, there you go. I want to thank you so much for spending your time with us tonight. PrepperRecon.com is the website. Go there for the books. Go there for the information. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. It was a very quick and information-filled hour. Thank you so much.
Joe, John, thanks again for having me.
Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com.